I work at a KFC in a small town in Canada. For context, I'm female. I just turned 18, and I've been working at KFC for a year and a half. A lot of regular customers come in, but recently, there was that one guy I'll never forget. At first, he would regularly come in once or twice a week. He was nice, so we made small talk while I took his orders. At the end of our conversation one day, he asked for my Snapchat. Not thinking too much of it, I gave it to him. I'll regret that decision forever. We hadn't ended up talking much on Snapchat, so after a while, I unfriended him. He hadn't done or said anything up until that point to make me block him, but I wanted to keep my Snapchat decluttered. To my surprise, though, the next time I went to work, my coworkers told me he showed up the previous day and not only asked them for my phone number, but also about where I lived. That's when I started to get a little creeped out. If anything, he could have asked me directly, either in person or on Snapchat, to meet up somewhere, maybe even at my place. Going behind my back to ask about me made it seem like he didn't want me to know what he was actually up to. Now, I still don't know if what I did next made things worse or not, but I had a fake account on Snap that I used to stalk my ex about a year back, and I never deleted it. So out of curiosity, I added this blonde little weirdo on it. Under this fake identity, I told him I was a friend of the girl he'd been asking about. We messaged back and forth, and it wasn't long before he started asking questions and saying weird stuff about the real me. The things he said made me really start to get scared. It was stuff like, "I want her to be only mine," and "let me know where I can find her." I felt like it was quickly going way too far, so I left him on open for the rest of the night. After that, he started coming into my work almost every day. My coworkers, who were aware of the situation, took his orders while I hid from him in the kitchen. I couldn't stay there forever, though, so once he was seated, I had to go back out to the registers. Every single time, I could see him sitting in the dining area, staring at me. It's like he was staring into my soul. It made me extremely uncomfortable, and he would stick around for about an hour each day. Then, late one night, long after I was sure he left, I went out the back door to throw out a couple garbage bags. I tossed the bags into the dumpster, and when I turned around, he was right in front of me. I didn't know what to do. I was expecting him to try to kiss me or attack me or something crazy, but for the longest 10 seconds of my life, he just stood there, smiling like a freak. I didn't know what to do. Finally, he said, "Hi, Marissa," in the creepiest tone that made my stomach turn. Scared he would flip out if I ignored him, I said hi back. There was another short moment of silence before he reached into his pocket, saying he had brought something for me. Then he pulled out 2 small chocolate bars. I declined his offer, but then he said take it aggressively, while shoving them at me. I felt my heart beating in my stomach as I reached out and took them from his hand. Once I had them, he just walked away. Right before he went around the corner, he said, "I'll see you later." Without hesitation, I threw the candy in the dumpster and went inside. I explained the situation to my coworkers. They weren't shocked. They said he'd been in the store literally every day to ask about me. It was close to the end of my shift, but I was too scared to walk to my car by myself because of what he said. Thankfully, one of my male coworkers offered to go with me. An hour later, I had mostly calmed down, but I was still on edge as we left. However, the coast was clear. No sign of that blonde freak. I got to my car safely. We looked around one more time and didn't see anyone. I said goodnight to my coworker and he walked off toward his car. I unlocked my car, opened the door, then sat down. I was just about to reach over and close the door when someone yanked it right out of my hand. Before I knew it, that freak was climbing into my car on top of me. He had the chocolate bars in his hand and was shoving them in my mouth as I called for help. He kept screaming, "You didn't eat my gift." It only lasted for a few seconds before my coworker came back and ripped him out of the car. They told me to drive away, so I started my car and got out of there as fast as I could. I was worried about my coworker leaving him there with my stalker, but I just hoped he would be okay. When I got home, I called KFC. They got the police involved because my stalker had gone back into the store and went ballistic, screaming at everyone for keeping us from being together. Nobody was hurt, though, and the cops arrested him. This all happened very recently, so I've yet to hear whether he'll stay in jail or if I'll have to file a restraining order. But I wanted to get this written down while it was fresh in my mind. I still have trouble sleeping because of what happened. There's still so much I don't understand, though. Like what could have been in those chocolate bars, or how he was able to hide from us in the parking lot. I just hope I never see his face again. This happened about a year ago, when I was hanging out with my boyfriend, Travis. We were both in high school, but Travis had a truck. Since there isn't much to do in a crappy small town, we would often drive around town and just talk for hours. If we got tired of being in the truck, sometimes we'd go to Walmart to walk around. One night, we got there around 8:30 p.m. The parking lot was mostly empty, so we parked next to a small cluster of cars near the front. We went in and aimlessly walked around for about a half an hour. Nothing was out of the ordinary for a while, until we encountered a group of people blocking one end of an aisle. It was four grown men, all reeking of booze and cigarettes. They all stared at me as we walked by. One of them even whistled. They made me feel really uncomfortable, and I could tell Travis was mad at them, but he just quietly said we should ignore them and go somewhere else. We ended up in the candy aisle, where we decided that we should finally buy something and head out. Still, it took us about 10 minutes to decide what we wanted, and it wasn't there, even though they usually had it. Enough time had passed that I wasn't concerned about the men we encountered earlier, so I offered to run over to the checkout area and see if they had it there. Luckily, I spotted what we wanted immediately. I was excited to go back to Travis with our treat, but unfortunately, that's when the night took a turn. Not even a second after I grabbed the bag, I felt arms close in around my waist. Without even having to look down, I knew they were in Travis's hands. I turned around and saw one of the creeps grabbing my waist. It was like time froze as I stood there, looking at this horrifically disgusting man just inches from my face. He was the tallest, nastiest one, but the rest weren't with him. He was wearing a white t-shirt covered in stains, and he smelled like piss on top of everything else. This guy had to be twice my age and size, so my body locked up in terror. He asked me for my number, but I quickly blurted out that I was there with my boyfriend and not interested. That's when he said that he only wanted to be my friend because I was so hot and sexy. I wanted to throw up at the idea of him even thinking about me like that. I couldn't stand to be near him for another second. So I turned around and walked through his arms, but then he grabbed my wrist and pulled me back. He looked me straight in the eyes and told me he wasn't going to let me go. That I was his now. I was on the verge of screaming, but I was in absolute shock. I stood there petrified until his grip started to actually hurt my wrist. Then I wrenched myself out of his greasy hands and walked away. He didn't follow me, but I was already thinking that he was just waiting to get his friends and gang up on me, which made me start to panic. By the time I got back to Travis, I was sobbing. I told him what happened. Then he took my hand and said we were leaving. I was more than happy to. But then we saw the worst thing imaginable when we got to the exit. The creep had gotten back with his buddies, and they were all walking out of the store together. We watched in horror as they walked over and got in the beat-up old van parked right next to Travis's truck. We waited inside the store, hoping that they would leave, but they just wouldn't. Travis decided to get the truck by himself and drive it up to the entrance. I thought it was a good plan, but I was so freaked out by what was happening that I couldn't think straight. I absentmindedly walked out of the store with him, right outside the doors, before I realized I'd screwed up and put myself in plain view. I should have gone back in, but I felt like every step I was taking was the wrong one. So I just stood there. As soon as Travis walked onto the pavement, the van started driving toward me. I still felt paralyzed when they stopped in front of me and the passenger window rolled down. The man that grabbed me was sitting there and told me to get in. Tripping over my words uncontrollably, I said I was waiting for my boyfriend. But he said he and his friends could treat me way better than him. I was finally backing away in fear. But then two men suddenly got out from the back of the van. They came at me so fast they were nearly able to grab me before I could properly react. All I could think of was to run to Travis. The men chased after me on foot and in the van. When I got near Travis's truck, he had just finished backing out. I rushed to the door and climbed in, but one of the men grabbed the door as I tried to close it. I was fighting him with all my strength, and I couldn't even see what was going on around us. All I know is that Travis floored it. The man lost his grip and fell back. Then we hit a bump right as I slammed the door shut. I believe Travis ran over the guy's foot, but I don't know. He sped all the way to his house while making sure we weren't being followed. The whole ride, I was just sitting there, hyperventilating, trying to wrap my head around what had just happened. It was only when we got to his house that reality set in. I'd just come within inches of being kidnapped, probably to never see the light of day again. It's sad to say, but it's because of the world we live in that I've spent a lot of time thinking about all the things I did wrong and what I could have done better to get myself out of the situation. One thing is for sure. I'm never going to Walmart alone. My mate and I went to the pub one night. We live in the same building, so as always, we took an Uber early enough to nab a pool table before they got all taken. After about an hour, two guys came up and asked if they could play with us. This happens almost every night at the pub, as there aren't many tables, and my mate and I are pretty good. Sometimes, people try and play us for the table, but these guys just wanted to play for fun. No bets at first. We played a couple games, while all of us kept drinking. After the third game or so, we noticed that they both went to the bathroom a lot, more often than the typical drinker. We knew they were probably doing bumps of Charlie in the bathroom. My mate and I don't touch that stuff, but at the same time, we don't judge, especially if we can still beat them in pool while at a substantial disadvantage. Of course, once the other guys were well and hopped up on their stuff, they suggested we play for money. Feeling confident we could still beat them, we agreed. The bet started small, 10 quid from each of us, then 20. We beat them more often than they beat us, but every time they won, they'd up the ante. By midnight, my mate and I were both drunk up to our eyeballs, pulling bills out of the ATM to keep the pot growing all the way up to 50 quid per person, so 200 on the line every game. We felt like we were wiping the floor with the poor bastards, but it seemed like they were willing to keep giving us their money. Eventually, we wanted to play one last game. Those two guys must have thought they could end on a win because we seemed so drunk, so they suggested we should each bet 100 quid. We accepted, then we beat them in short order. At this point, we honestly felt sorry for them, especially when they started to look all regretful. When one of them asked if there was any way we could go back on that last bet, I said sure, but only if he made it up to us in some other way. That's when he offered to drive us both home. To us, that felt like a decent offer, so we accepted. All four of us got in that guy's car, with my mate and I in the back. Things were fine at first, but then they started arguing with each other. I heard the passenger say, "We shouldn't have picked these assholes up." My mate and I got quiet, feeling out of place. We knew these guys were probably coming down from the blow, so we didn't want to say anything to set them off. Then, halfway back to our building, the passenger began to writhe around, moaning and clutching his stomach. The driver told him to cut it out, then started taking random wild turns, like he was intentionally trying to piss his mate off or make him sick. My mate and I just sat there in paralyzed silence like kids when their parents are fighting. It wasn't until we'd gone far off course that the driver let up and parked the car. He told his friend to open the door and puke out the side. But then the guy slithered out of the car and ran off into the alleyway we stopped in front of. The driver swore, told us to stay put, then got out to chase after him. Now we were the ones beside ourselves with regret. What were we thinking getting in the car with these people? We considered getting out and walking home, but we were so drunk that we weren't sure we would make it. Then, a conversation got cut off when we heard shouting. I rolled down my window. Then I realized it was coming from the alleyway. The driver was calling for help. We both froze up. What the hell was going on? After looking at each other stupidly for a few seconds, I think we both decided that we shouldn't ignore calls for help. So we got out and stumbled into the alley. We yelled, asking where they were. An echoing voice told us to come in farther. saying their mate had collapsed behind a dumpster. We hurried closer, eventually seeing a pair of shoes sticking out from a dumpster. But then a man suddenly appeared out from around a corner behind us and socked my mate in the face. Before I knew it, that person behind the dumpster had gotten to their feet and was charging me with a knife. It was the same man from the pub, now demanding everything we had. I was fearing for my life, so I complied, handing over my wallet first, hoping he'd let me keep my phone. But then I heard more shouting from behind me. My mate was trying to fight them. Suddenly, I heard his voice gasp out and cut out in the middle of shouting, and then his body collapsed. In the next moment, I felt a sharp pain in the back of my head. Then it all went black. Sometime later, I came to with a pounding headache. That seemed to be it. But then I remembered my mate. I rushed over and found him keeled over, clutching his stomach, which was soaked in blood. I started screaming for help. Quickly, people came to the entrance of the alley, still cautious of entering. I told them to get an ambulance. Then they saw what had happened and came over, as more sober people came to our aid. A layer of shock started to set in as I thought that man who was like a brother to me might die. Thankfully, he made it to the hospital in time and survived. Not that it matters much, but between us, we were both out $2,000. That whole night, we had no idea the men we were playing against were setting up to rob us once we left the pub. They primed us with drink and victory, only to leverage our human decency to lure us into a trap. My mate's still not back to his full self, and the investigation is still ongoing, so I've omitted all their names. But I still wanted to tell what happened to us as a cautionary tale.